Okay, thank you. We will call to order the meeting today. It's a joint meeting between Senate Transportation and House Transportation. The meeting will convene at, I guess it's really 1:37, changed now, right? Today we have from the Senate Senator French and Huggins. From the House we have Representative Newman, Representative Elkins, Representative Big Guy Vic Coring, and Wild Bill Thomas. Exactly. Exactly.
Much taller than me, yeah.
Mutton Jeff.
Yeah.
And today we originally had two functions. One was to have a presentation professional developed for each of us in broadening experience with the Port of Tacoma. And second was the FAA presentation, who the presenter is ill and will not be here. And if I might, just to remind each of us that our relationship with the state of Washington over time has been one of interdependence, and according to which day and which hours, it's how good or how bad that interdependence is, but equally important for each of us to recognize is that the future is ahead of us, and we will continue that interdependence, if you will. So we have with us, let's see, Ted, Tim, and Ed, and why don't you guys come up, introduce yourselves, and we are all ears.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Chairman Elkins, thank you, and Chairman Gatto, in his absence, thank you as well. My name is Tim Farrell. I'm the Executive Director of the Port of Tacoma. I want to first of all, send the regards of our Commission President, Ted Bodiger, whom many of you have met before. He's an ardent supporter of the Port of Tacoma's Alaska connections, and unfortunately is also a bit under the weather today and was unable to make the trip with us. I want to introduce to you two other people that we have from the port with me today. We have Ed Engelhardt, who's in charge of our domestic cargo businesses, primarily that's Alaska. Ed? And also someone that really needs no introduction, that is Sherry Gross, who is our consultant representing the port here in Alaska. Sherry. I want to just spend a few moments briefing you on the important economic links between the state of Alaska and the Port of Tacoma. You know, I can't speak for our senatorial delegation in Washington State, but let me assure you that you do have friends in Washington State, and we are among them. But before I do that, let me talk generally about ports. Ports in Washington State are municipal corporations. That means that within a district, our Board of Commissioners is elected by the general electorate. And that elected nature of our board confers upon them a great deal of independence as a separate political subdivision. One example of the independence that type of board structure allows is the ability to make policy statements publicly as a resolution of the board, one of which, dating back almost 20 years, was the Port of Tacoma's resolution supporting the development of ANWR here in Alaska. The purpose of ports in Washington State is generally economic development and jobs and creation of economic activity in our regions. That's largely done through trade and industrial development, such facilities as marine terminals, airports, tourism development, manufacturing and distribution uses throughout our state and primarily in Puget Sound. The ports have independent financial structures. We operate as municipal corporations, so we've got our own revenue streams, expenses and so forth, through rentals and fee structures, and also with an elected commission. Our commission has the ability to levy a property tax within the port district, which amounts to approximately 10% of the port's overall income in a given year. So last year, the port generated about $89 million in operating revenue and another $9 million in tax levy. The operating revenues go to support our operations and a portion of our capital investment, which can be leveraged using general obligation bonds and revenue bonds, and the tax levy goes towards public infrastructure for which we cannot charge a fee. For example, widening and deepening waterways and building roadways in and out of the port. Specifically, the Port of Tacoma, the port is one of the top 10 container ports in North America last year, 2004, finishing seventh on that list, moving about 1.8 million containers over our docks in the course of the year. Of that 1.8 million, 500,000, slightly over 500,000, was container traffic between the Port of Tacoma and the state of Alaska. That amounts to about 70% of the cargo that's moving out of the lower 48 into Alaska coming through the Port of Tacoma. It also amounts to about, well, in excess of $3 billion worth of trade between our two states. And in fact, if you took Alaska as a trading partner of the Port of Tacoma, it would rank as the third largest trading partner behind only China, that booming economy, and Japan, our longstanding international trading partner. So Alaska represents an enormous trading partner for the Port of Tacoma and for Washington State.
Chairman?
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. French. I saw that number in your brochure, and the question that came to my mind about that was, what's the comparable figure for the Port of Seattle?
For the comparable to the 70%?
State of Alaska.
You mean in terms of the percentage of the cargo?
Dollar volume.
I can't tell you that off the top of my head, but we can get you that data.
I'm just looking for some way to compare the two.
Sure. Well, what you find is that the Port of Tacoma is serving the rail belt and Dutch Harbor, and the Port of Seattle is generally serving Southeast and some of the outports in Bering Sea and North Slope by barge. So we're serving the main population centers.
What do you attribute that differential being between Tacoma and Seattle? Why one services which sector?
Well, the main difference is the labor force in Tacoma. The labor force that it requires to operate an on-time scheduled liner service, as both Horizon and Tote do, requires a certain flexibility and business savvy of the labor force. The Tacoma Longshore Union demonstrated the capability to do that way back in 1976 when Tote moved into Tacoma, and again in 1985 when Horizon moved into Tacoma, Sealand at the time. And that was something that the longshore force in Seattle was not able to maintain. What happens now in Seattle is the barge activities are conducted by an affiliate union of the ILWU, the IBU. And that's an entirely different type of market. It's not as much into a where speed counts. You know, the barges are a little slower, they're less expensive, but it's a tougher service to maintain. So, different market. Yeah.
And let the record show that Senator Terrio has joined us. And Senator Terrio, we're presently hearing the Port of Tacoma presentation. FAA will not be present today. Presenter sick.
So among all the trade that comes from Tacoma up into Alaska, and 85% of the volume of this trade is northbound, only 15% is southbound. That's generally seafood products. All manner of food, clothing, and shelter and housewares that are used throughout Alaska, and specifically the rail belt, are moved through the Port of Tacoma into Alaska. It's a significant enough part of our business and the success of our community that we've organized our port staffing somewhat around Alaska. Mr. Engelhart is in charge of our Alaska line of business. Not only does he serve Horizon and Tote, but companies that you'd recognize such as Odom, Carlisle Transportation, American Fast Freight, Linden Transport, Span Alaska, and many others that, complementary to their operations here in Alaska, have satellite operations in Tacoma to help make sure that cargo keeps moving in an efficient and reliable way. And so Ed is responsible for making sure that whatever we can do to make that cargo flow, we're doing it. The Port of Tacoma Tacoma itself has a number of links to Alaska, developed over a long period of time. The port is a member of the Alaska Chamber of Commerce, and also is the one of our staff members is the chair of the Alaska subcommittee of the Tacoma Pierce County Chamber of Commerce. Years ago, the port did a great amount of work helping to stage for the North Slope development. A lot of the assembly and the manufacturing for those oil fields took place in the Port of Tacoma. Now, in subsequent years, through some great training and economic development programs that you've got here in Alaska, many of those capabilities now exist right here in the state. That said, the Port of Tacoma is prepared and has land available for support of the development of the gas pipeline or the development of ANWR or other significant economic development projects that would occur here in Alaska that may need some facilitation or support in the lower 48. We're ready to do that to help you out.
Excuse me, Tim.
Sure.
Let the record show that Representative Salmon has joined us. Welcome, Woody. And we're presently listening to the Port of Tacoma presentation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim, you had mentioned that Tacoma is available for expansion of ANWR, or the gas pipeline. Are you taking any steps to promote this in your part of the country?
In fact, some of the things that we've done, I mentioned the resolution that our commission passed in support of development of ANWR. Additionally to that, our Commissioner Bodiger, who again could not be here today, has been engaged in a number of the lobbying efforts that have sort of attempted to support that development over the course of time. So we are an active supporter of the development of ANWR, and we're hopeful that will occur.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Chair, Ted or Tim, does your organization ever talk to your legislative body down there about support for this?
We do. We don't necessarily get the most receptive audience, as you might imagine, but we do. We make it clear, not only on our own basis, but through the Alaska subcommittee of our Chamber of Commerce, that this is important for jobs not only here in Alaska but in Washington State. So,
Port of Tacoma receiving things from Alaska. Can you give us any paraphrase?
It's almost entirely seafood. The balance of trade is 85% northbound, 15% southbound. So pretty much everything, if you go to a Fred Meyer or a Safeway, anything on the shelves typically comes through the Port of Tacoma, and then the seafood is headed south. And of course, as you, I don't need to say to all you, the other big thing that comes out of Alaska comes out in tankers. And that's not something that we handle in Tacoma so much, other than the one small refiner that we've got.
Your source of natural gas is?
For our region?
Right.
You know, I'm not sure the answer to that question. Do you know?
I'm not sure the answer to that question.
Yeah, we'll have to check on that one, too. Yeah.
Tim and I talked yesterday in reference to multiple things, and one of the things that Tim's going to give us some feedback on is I was asked a question here not too long ago in reference to if we took liquefied gas to the West Coast, why wouldn't it potentially go across to either Washington or Oregon versus California or the Baja? And Tim's looking at the infrastructure to what the answer to that would be. And maybe there is some potential. But anyway, we're addressing that subject, and we look forward to your response on that, Tim.
Sure. The Port of Tacoma and the Port of Anchorage have a formal partnership agreement that we signed back in 1988. And as a result of that agreement, have had opportunities to work together on developing foreign trade zones, on doing some organizational benchmarking at the governance level with between our commission and the board here in Anchorage, or there in Anchorage, I should say. And it's been a great pleasure for me personally and others on our staff to get to know Governor Sheffield and to see the great job that he's doing up there in Anchorage. The Port of Tacoma does participate in such organizations as the Alliance, the Resource Development Council, and have supported the efforts of those organizations as well. In looking at the future, obviously what's right in front of all of us is the pipeline and ANWR. Those are the types of things that, because the services of Horizon and TOTE are based in Tacoma, are good for our community, and we appreciate the business that occurs up here, and in fact spend a great deal of effort to make sure that we're here understanding what's happening in your neighborhoods and helping to support your elected officials in Washington, D.C. as well, to see that these things can move forward. Additionally, upon the development of the North Slope, we saw an increase in a permanent increase in population here in Alaska, and that increases the general level of activity in the Port of Tacoma as well. So those stores like Fred Meyer and Target stores, Costco, Pier 1, to the extent that they develop here in Washington State, will be supporting you to make sure that the goods are on the shelves and that they're there 52 weeks of the year. So I want to just take this opportunity really to say thank you, to let you know we're here to support you, and that we very much appreciate the benefits in our community that result from your activity in Alaska. I want to extend an invitation to any or all of you who want to come and visit the Port of Tacoma and see what the other end of the supply chain looks like, and get to know us better in our area as well. And then also just to ask for any further questions that you may have for myself or my two associates today.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim, you mentioned you have an alliance with the Port of Anchorage. Do you ever talk with the folks there at Port McKenzie of any trade back and forth or the advancement or maybe help their development?
I'm personally aware that development is underway, and in fact that some trade has already begun in wood chips between McKenzie and Korea. I myself have not had direct contact with the folks in McKenzie. I'm just going to check with our folks and see if they have either. Anything yet?
Oh, I have over the years from the very beginning, in fact, back to Rose Palmquist days when she was first working long ago to get something going. And there have been a few people from the port who've made the drive down there to take a look at it. And so far there doesn't seem to be a business connection, but we've been keeping our eye on it.
Tim, mm-hmm. Question for you on Agrium products. Do you receive any Agrium products into the Port of Tacoma?
I don't believe we do. Mainly what we're receiving from Alaska, as I mentioned, is the containerized cargo coming out of Anchorage, Dutch, and Kodiak, and then to the extent that the crude is coming into U.S. oil refinery in Tacoma.
You know, one of the things that drives up the cost of shipping as hazardous cargo designation kinds of things. Could you give us from the point of origin, take a pallet of Hodgdon gunpowder, probably worst case scenario. What sort of things do you see from a positive standpoint that might help as far as cost containment, or is there one that when it comes to hazardous cargo kinds of items?
Well, you get different pictures depending on which regulator you're talking to. I would say that the U.S. Coast Guard has a history of working well with industry, of having proposed rulemaking, taking comments, and spending the time to make sure that a regulation, A, achieves what it's attempting to regulate, and B, is done so in a way that it's not abusive to the industry that's regulating. Some of the other federal agencies are a little tougher, not as so much interested in the success of the industry, but more in the success of the enforcement. I would classify historically U.S. Customs in that realm, though they have begun to turn the corner a little bit by relying on industry expertise. In general, however, I would say that as long as there's an even playing field, which federal agencies are designed to set up, from a competitive standpoint, it should balance out. But there are situations when that does become a little bit excessive.
When you look at that processing, be it by customs or any other agency, the processing piece of it, understand the time delay, but the costing, do you do any feedback to those agencies as a port of how they're driving up the cost of doing business?
We do indeed. Let me give you an example of that. One of our major competitors is Southern California, and Southern California handles a significant mix of Latin American cargo as well as Asian cargo. The ports of Seattle and Tacoma handle almost exclusively Asian cargo. So during the height of the war on drugs, U.S. Customs was focused very much on Latin American cargo in Southern California, and almost none of the Asian cargo was being stopped for inspections. And yet, since we have only Asian cargo in the Northwest, anything that was getting stopped was Asian cargo. So we had a natural disadvantage when it came to Asian cargo vis-a-vis Southern California. That's an issue that we raised directly with our congressional delegation, directly with customs themselves, and say, here's the situation. And in fact, it got to the point of examining customs data to prove our point with their own data. And that led to some modification of that behavior, but there's only so much they can do when ours is all Asian and the other port is a mix. But we found some receptivity there when they're faced with their own data.
Automobiles, a lot of them come through Tacoma?
Sure.
Right. Trading companies. The Orientals have the reputation for having trading companies. What is our equivalent to a trading company in the U.S.?
A lot of the trading companies in Japan are large holding companies. For example, I've been dealing with some companies in Tacoma that I didn't realize were ultimately owned by Japanese companies. That might be a construction company or a manufacturing company that ultimately it's or a mining company even. Ultimately, the ownership is overseas, and what those companies are oftentimes doing is trading other companies. So you might think of a holding company in the United States as something like that, like a trading company. Typically, in Japan, because Japan is so dependent upon international trade for its raw materials, those trading companies are almost exclusively international in terms of their base.
Other questions? Another follow-up question for you. Aggregate rocks. One of the challenges that we face in the business of building roads and getting some longevity out of them is quality of our aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, out of your port, ship any aggregate at all to any other destinations?
There is significant mining of some high-quality aggregate in the Puget Sound region. We've been quite busy with construction projects of our own, and I'm not aware that those materials are being exported to other regions at this point. So I don't think so, but I'm not sure of that.
My final question for you, as far as relationships with other states, we understand a little bit about the Alaskan relationship with Washington, Port of Tacoma in this case. Are there any close or distant seconds to Alaska with the Port of Tacoma?
Nothing close. Distant seconds would be, for example, Illinois. 70% of the cargo that comes into the Port of Tacoma from international markets is getting on rail, and it's going to places like Chicago, Minneapolis, and New York. The hub of all the rail operations for the northern tier of the U.S. is in Chicago, and we work closely with them to assure that the same efficiencies that we need in our region are the efficiencies they need in their region to make sure that those cargo moves are successful, and so we work there as well. That would be a distant second.
Big box stores like Costco as an example. Are Costco shipping, are those ship generically, or do they have big Costco logos or whatever on the sides when they go through the Tacoma?
Typically, the shipments are branded by the steamship line, the boxes themselves. And so you might have, and a lot of those companies, the steamship lines own their own trucking companies. Just like you see the cruise lines conducting, bus tours here, the steamship lines often own the trucking companies in the port areas, and they're pretty much branding the move itself.
From a standpoint of us representing Alaskans to make things more efficient, less costly, are there any things you would recommend that should be on our plate to address or to get smarter on, whatever the case may be, so that we enhance pricing ultimately and timeliness for Alaskans?
That's a great question. When I travel throughout the lower 48, I typically find that if you ask someone where their shirt came from, they'll tell you it came from Nordstrom's. If I go to a country that is deeply engaged in international trade, or I come to Alaska that's highly dependent upon marine trade, and I ask where the shirt come from, normally someone will say, well, this one came from Malaysia, or that one came from China. People are very knowledgeable about how things get here, and I found that to be very true here in Alaska. I think you've got a very good setup right now. I would watch the balance between the barge operations and the liner shipping operations as where there may be some tweaking available. But I can't think off the top of my head of an initiative that would dramatically improve things. And I'm going to ask Sherry and Ed if anything occurs to them on this question. I think it's an interesting question.
The situation with Alaska is really quite unique, as Tim was saying for us. And it's a very good situation. There are organizations around the port of Tacoma, for example, that Tim mentioned, that gather the cargo from various sources and combine these cargoes into container and trailer loads to provide for the most efficient use. If you were to move smaller volumes, the costs would increase dramatically. But by having these organizations consolidating moves, it has made the system much more efficient.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim, there's talk of a rail line from Alaska down through Canada for shipping freight in that. Mm-hmm. How is this going to affect the shipping industry as far as barges and container ships go?
Well, it's interesting. Tote recently deployed new vessels on its Tacoma Anchorage route. And these vessels are capable of handling 53-foot highway trailers. Their prior vessels were not. And in the years since the institution of the use of 53-foot trailers, between the time they started using them and the time Tote brought their new ships in, there was some business that shifted over onto the Alcan Highway. So there is vulnerability there from a vessel side. I think there's some pricing discipline there too, which sort of gets to the prior question. In terms of rail, that's a very interesting question that could have wider ranging implications in terms of what parts of the country Alaskans would be sourcing cargo from. I think because of the factors that Ed raised about efficiencies being created by having a critical mass of business, if you will, or a cluster economy, if you will, around serving Alaska, it would take some time before you'd see a significant impact or change to the way things occur in Tacoma because of those volumes offer the ability for lower cost. Over the long run, I'd be interested to see what the impacts would be of that sort of a rail activity. Yeah.
Certainly make things more competitive between the two markets and shipments to Alaska, huh?
I think it could. What's interesting is if you were interested in getting into a business serving the Alaska market out of someplace other than Tacoma, let's say it was the origin of that rail, the first thing you'd have to do is compete with the economies of scale that the companies have already established in Tacoma. That means not only the fact that the businesses are all co-located there and can trade off services, but also that the capacities of the vessels are significantly higher than the capacity of a train, and so you get economies of scale there as well. So not to say that it wouldn't have an impact, but I think it would take some time for that impact to become clear and to see exactly what it would be.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Tim, I'm assuming that you've already got a rail system into your port. I mean, your port is served by a rail.
Sure.
So you have containers that come in by rail, put on ships, and then they're shipped up here?
Typically, the cargo that's coming to Alaska is generated locally by truck. The rail system serving the Port of Tacoma generally serves Asian cargo coming eastbound into inland locations in the United States, like I mentioned, Minneapolis, Chicago, and even New York. So that's more, the rail for us is more of an international activity than a domestic one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Additional questions for Tim? Other comments, questions from the audience? Well, Tim, thank you very much. And on behalf of both the Senate and the House, we say thank you for the Port of Tacoma. We're obviously interdependent. I think all of us have to realize that China is the 2,000-pound gorilla, both particularly the export piece. And one final thing.
Sure.
What were the murmurs in Tacoma when the announcement of the Chinese potentially buying petroleum and containerizing shipping out of Canada, or was there murmurs about that?
Of containerizing?
The Chinese, when they were striking bargains in British Columbia area for...
Yeah, well, you know, the Chinese are now everywhere. The murmurs are screams. I think when you and I talked yesterday, we talked about the Chinese coming in and offer to buy all of the supply coming out of Venezuela. And so they're going to be a continually aggressive sourcer of raw materials from around the world to supply that growth. I think they've got a smart economic development plan in place that's not going to overheat. And so the question is going to be, at what point does the rest of the world say, I'm not willing to put all my eggs in one basket and start to spread things around again a little bit more? It's an interesting balance between risk management and being in the low-cost producers' field of endeavor. So I think it's going to be an interesting balance for us. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, thank you as well.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim.